Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah's millions and millions of times over, we should be grateful to Allah that today, tonight, this evening, this great evening, this is a night that is passing through the month of Sha'ban, the great month, and this incapable individual has been given the opportunity by Allah to come to this masjid, to sit amongst you pious and upright people and the respectful scholars. Allah Ta'ala has given me the ability to do this. And I pray to Allah that Allah Ta'ala accepts this majlis of ours, and Allah forgives all of us, and Allah Ta'ala forgives the whole ummah, the nation. And this time that we will spend here with Allah's grace, with Allah's mercy, that Allah, may we be able to listen to something beneficial, and so that we can have the tawfiq and ability to act on that. This majlis, the gathering, the sign of an accepted and beneficial gathering, the pious elders have told us this sign, that when you go to a gathering, then you should go with a total intention that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His direction, whatever message I get, whatever Allah ta'ala tells me, I will accept. And when I leave that gathering, something I need to take away from that gathering. What does something mean? That I will take some amal, I will take some action away from that gathering. So alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah will then accept the coming, the presence of that person gathering. Because gatherings are not for just sitting and listening. Rather, Allah Ta'ala's grace, His blessings, His mercies, that is due to that that Allah Ta'ala allows us to sit in a gathering. And Allah Ta'ala enables the human being, because Allah knows better that how much life we have left, each and every one of us. And Allah Ta'ala gives a message to that individual who's sitting there: improve your life, do away with your weaknesses, prepare for the grave that you are going to, because the grave is such an abode, nobody can reject that he or she will go to the grave. And nobody can reject that he's got a guaranteed time when he is going to pass away, or he'll be in a certain condition. Allah Ta'ala doesn't have need for any of this, that he'll be ill or not ill, healthy or not healthy. It's up to Allah when He calls somebody. And an individual human being should be totally prepared every second of his life, from the beginning, that from the time when a person's born to the time when the person dies, to the punishments of the grave, and no doubt the phases, the challenges that will come to us and thereafter, we should be prepared for that. And it's yaqeen, totally, it's not just possible, totally 100% we know for as clear, when Allah Ta'ala arranges a gathering, the objective of that gathering is to attain Allah Ta'ala's rada, His pleasure, and we are collected, gathered for Allah's rada. We are sitting here for Allah's rada. We will praise and do the thana of Allah, and Allah's rahmah then, it's aroused. Allah, as soon as Allah sees that gathering, Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at the sins of the individuals. Allah announces, rather, I have forgiven. So alhamdulillah, we will have the intention, we have come for the rada of Allah, for Allah's pleasure. Allah has given us strength, Allah Ta'ala seated us here, it's He who has sent us here, it's He who has allowed us to come here. So let's see what Allah Ta'ala tells us in this gathering, what message He gives to us in this gathering, what learnings we will get in this gathering. So brothers, this is a gathering of the dhikr of Allah, and as you're aware that this is the gathering of Allah's remembrance. So let's talk about the remembrance of Allah. There's a very famous hadith, and you will have heard this hadith in the fadail, and it's come in my mind, and I'd like to present it to you and start our discussion. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated, مَسَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ رَبَّكُمْ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ رَبَّكُمْ مَثَلُ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. This hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this the Holy Prophet, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is giving us some benefit. The people who are sitting in this masjid in Bradford, consider that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is addressing them 1400 years ago. This is what we need to think. Not this, this hadith, we're reading it. No, there's a message in this hadith. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us a message. And this message is until Qiyamah. Hadith means we will get a message, a learning, we'll analyze ourselves, we'll improve ourselves, feedback through the feedback, and we will, inshallah, arrive to Jannah, paradise. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his every message and hadith, it contains a message that will take a person to Jannah. There's no need to select if I'll read a Bukhari hadith or Tirmidhi or Imam Malik, Mu'tamar Malik. No. This is such a nur that you take the splashes of nur and it will make you enlightened. Subhanallah. That's how great and fantastic are the hadith. You don't need to select specific hadith. Because these words didn't come out from some normal person. This was selected words from a select, unique personality. Allah Ta'ala instructed the Prophet to say these words, and they were heard, and they were spread, and they will continue to spread. So alhamdulillah, don't think that this hadith, I've heard it many times. No. All of us collectively, me and you, need to pay attention to this hadith. And this hadith, we need to get to the conclusion that we have to arrive to Jannah Paradise. End of story. And within minutes, the decisions are made. Minutes. That's the reason why we sat with this objective. So Allah becomes pleased and we go to Paradise. Now be careful here that when a person is sitting within Allah's mercy, don't look at the sins, look at Allah's fadl. Whoever looks at the sins, he will lose out. What we should look at? Allah's fadl, His mercies, His blessings, His grace, His graciousness. Forget the sins. So here the Holy Prophet ﷺ stated that the first thing Nabi ﷺ has told us is dhikr Allah. The person who does dhikr and the person who doesn't do dhikr. The example of both is as if you compare to the living and the dead. That's the example, the similitude. The similarity in this hadith, in this message, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has given a clear message about whom? Clear lesson about the remembrance of Allah. About which action? The dhikr of Allah. That's it. Now let's think about this. This message of what is the remembrance of Allah? What is dhikr? If dhikr is a very important action, how much do we do it in our lives? How much is it present in our lives? Let's look at today. From morning until night, we prayed Asr, Maghrib, Salal, Fadl, Karim, we will pray Isha. And let's pay attention. There's such an important action, so essential, so necessary, that if it comes out of the life of a human being, he's dead. Even though he may be breathing. Allahu Akbar. It's like the spirit, the soul, isn't it? That if this action comes out of the life of a human being, it's as if he is dead. He's not alive. And who told us this? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah. So there's no debate here. There's no doubt here. There's nothing to discuss. There's no room for negotiation or doubt. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that's it. It becomes a fact. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whichever human being does not perform dhikr in his life, it's as if he has passed away already. He's dead. So let's ask ourselves that from morning until evening today, how much dhikr have I performed? How much have I paid attention to the remembrance of Allah? How many times have I done actions that Allah, I should do dhikr for this reason, so that my name should stay on the list of the alive people? And if I die now and pass away, then my name's on the list of the people who are dead. If I don't remember Allah, even though I'm living and breathing, do you understand the importance? How great an action this? So before today, if we understood this or not, but today we've understood that the dhikr of Allah is very important. It's essential that we're making a decision, right and left, alive or dead. Someone says, I'm alive. Okay. Do you know the criteria? If you want to know if you're alive, tell me, how much dhikr do you do? Subhanallah. That's the criteria. You can debate. Quarrel? No, I don't do dhikr. Okay, you have passed away, but I just eaten. But the deceased person has eaten. You drove. You were deceased, you drove. This is my house, but this is the house of the deceased person. It's the people living there are deceased. They passed away. They're not alive. The proof isn't this. I'm walking, talking, eating, standing, sitting. I'm alive. No, the proof is this. That did you remember Allah or not? Did you do the dhikr of Allah or not? So this, has your name been included in the list of the dead people? So you're not alive, you're dead, and you will die as a dead person. So this is how important is the action of dhikr. So all of us should make intention in our lives. We will do dhikr of Allah regularly. Robustly will bring this into life. Will we do this, brothers? So this is point number one, message number one of today's gathering. Otherwise, there's no point. We're just carrying on breathing and doing the actions of so-called alive people. So we're eating, drinking, working. We went to sleep, woke up, wife, children, we're talking. How can this person say that we are deceased? That we've passed away, we're dead? I'm alive. I'll claim this. And he's saying, I'm dead. I'm not alive. So the question arises. So the pious elders have commentated on this. They've given explanation that the criteria to decide, to differentiate between life and death is not eating, drinking and moving around. Rather, what's the differentiation criteria? That if you want to know if somebody's alive or dead, it's not from your eating, drinking, wearing clothes or sleeping. It's attached to your heart, the criteria of life and death. The difference of a living and a dead creature is if a person does dhikr, the heart is alive. And if the heart is alive, then that person's alive. And if a person doesn't do dhikr of Allah, remember Allah, then his heart is dead. Then everything of that person is dead. Simple. Simple. So how can a person say he's alive if he's not doing dhikr of Allah? So the life is independent on the heart, and if the heart is alive, then that individual is alive. If the heart is dead, then the individual is dead. And the life of the heart has been proven from the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said the heart is alive from the dhikr of Allah, due to the dhikr of Allah. Easy, so simple to understand. Dhikr of Allah makes the heart alive, and if the heart is alive, then that person's alive. If a person does the dhikr of Allah, his heart is alive. And the person who doesn't do the dhikr of Allah, that person's heart is not alive, it's dead. And that person is a dead human being. He's passed away. He'll be listed amongst the list of the people who passed away. So now, example I'll give first. What's the difference between the living and the dead person? What's the difference? Okay, fine, we accept that our heart is alive or dead. What's the what difference does it make? We'll say. Yes, will he not eat or drink? What difference does it make? There's a difference we need to understand between a person who's living, alive and dead. Allah Ta'ala has given us a maqsad of life. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah told us in the Quran. There's a point I'd like to explain here. Allah's told us this point. Beautiful verse of the Quran, and the beautiful message that's given to us here is what? That the whole of humanity in the world, the whole of humanity, all the human beings, if you look at all the people in the world, the cultures, the tribes, nobody knows his objective of life. Nobody knows. Someone thinks I should eat, or I should make houses, or businesses, or scientific advancement, or let's get to the moon. The whole world, take all of the cross-section of human beings, and the mindsets, methodologies, objectives, and missions, and targets. Nobody knows their objective and target. The person who's made this mic, he knows the objective of this mic. He'll tell us, won't he? That I made this mic so that when somebody speaks, then the speech will go through this mechanism and be recorded. The person who designed the car, he'll know that I designed the car, the steering wheel and these mechanisms. He'll explain why he made those mechanisms. Only he can, can't he? The designer, the manufacturer. Whoever makes something, designs something and tell us the objective. So who made the whole universe? Allah. So who knows the objective of the universe? Allah. Now we understand. Yes? You understand what I'm saying? Who knows our objective? Allah knows. Nobody else can tell us. Allah has manufactured the earth, made the earth, built the earth, the universe. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us Himself that what is the objective. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتُ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوكُمْ أَيَّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. And one thing we need to see here is that the universe, there's no one in the universe who knows his objective except La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, the one who recites this, only he knows the objective of life. Only he knows. No religion, no individual knows his objective. Only that person, only those people know who believe in Allah, who have iman in whose hearts, they will know. The Allah Ta'ala has told us the objective of life is this. The person who doesn't believe in Allah, he doesn't know his objective of life. He's unaware. And the person who's not aware of his objective, then what will be his life? Tell me, it's like a donkey or a horse. He doesn't know what to do. What shall I do in the morning, evening? What shall I do this time of the day? How do I fulfill the rights of people? How do I speak about people? How do I get married? Who do I get married to? Is this person personal who is a mahram, ghair mahram, mahram, ghair mahram? Because Allah Ta'ala has given us the maqsad, the objective of life. That your objective, a human being, I know. What's your objective? Allah says, that you, a human being, I will test you, Allah says. I will test you. You'll have challenges in this dunya. I've given you life. Allah says, for this reason, so I test you. And how will I test you? That you, how good will you be in the life, in the world, and return to me in a good way? Ahsanu amala. Allahu Akbar. This is our objective. To be good. Allah Ta'ala has given us life. Why has Allah given us life? So that we can be good human beings who do good actions. And what are good actions? If Allah Ta'ala has ordered us to do something, we do it. And if He's ordered us to refrain from something, we leave it. If Allah has told us to do something, ordered us, we do it. And if He told us to leave something, we should refrain from it. For this reason, we are present in this world, in this dunya. And the person who doesn't do this work, he's living the wasteful life. From morning until evening, his life's a waste. From morning to time he gets up until the evening, the night. For us, every breath, every footstep, every movement, every thought is that our body, our lives, our movements. I should do this in the morning, in the evening. I had food for this reason. I drank water for this reason. So that we can do those actions from our body, from our limbs, from our organs. All those actions should be implemented that earn that pleasure of Allah. That's the objective of life. And this is the objective of life. Apart from that, all other actions are a waste. Bikar, waste, dead, dead wood. Let's take an example now. So we understand the objective of life. One is the earth. Let's take the earth, which is fertile. One is the infertile, the barren land. The barren land, which is dry and dead. You cannot grow plants on there. You cannot harvest the fruits and the vegetables. You can't grow anything specifically. And you can't use it really because it's barren, dry, wild land. But the other portion of land, which is fertile, good, healthy, you can grow fruits. You can grow vegetables, you can grow plants, and it will give you goodness because it's a good fertile land. So the first piece of land is dead, barren, infertile, no plants, no vegetation, no growth. And the second land is alive, fertile, you're benefiting from it. So that's the example of the heart. The heart that will be alive, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Then all good deeds will emanate from that heart from which Allah will become pleased. Do you understand? And it will; those deeds will take us close to our objective. And the heart that's barren, dead, dry, so dry, parched, and not alive, nothing good will come out of the heart. Only those things will come out of the heart that are not necessary for that human being. There'll be no desire for the deen. There'll be no name of Allah. He will dislike salah. His salah will be weak. And when we see this, that our salah is weak, and we are feeling burdened when we do the work of the deen, and reciting the Quran is hard, going in tabligh, propagating the deen, our legs tremble, we have no manners, behavior with regards to halal, haram, why is music haram, what is mahram, ghair mahram, lawful, people to sit in front of unlawful, what's my earnings and my home, inside my home, what's the permissible, not permissible, how should I meet people, walk, travel, etc. When this is our niyyah, let's analyze ourselves whilst we're talking today, our lives. Let's analyze, look in the mirror. So in our life, that if Allah's principles all come out of our life and we follow our whims and desires and principles, whatever the heart likes, we keep on doing. Yeah? What Allah Ta'ala has destined for us, the ahkams, the laws, all the time, they're not coming to our life. And our life is in opposite to Allah Ta'ala's laws and instructions and guidance, then we should consider that our heart has become dead. It's not alive. It's dead. Only for the sake of the world, whatever we feel like doing, we do. We don't have any knowledge that what we're doing sin. Sometimes we're praying salah, sometimes leaving salah, sometimes Ramadan comes, we keep some fast, some we leave. We have no differentiation. We come on Hajj, and after Hajj we do sins. The life is up and down like a yo-yo. We don't know what's the objective of our life, so that the heart of that individual is dead, passed away. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us the example, the similitude. Let's analyze ourselves, my friends. Let's be serious today. Am I alive or am I dead? In my heart, is there deep-rooted desire, passion for the deen, for religion, for the faith? Does my heart feel that I should pray great salah, pray tahajjud, follow Allah's ahkams, be from those who are saving themselves from sins? Do I feel ashamed when I'm sinning? Is my life clean and pure? And do I have good desires in my home? There is not a good environment. We have no love for the sunnah. We have no love for the deen. If this is not the case, then we are barren, dry land, which has no life at all. So today, we need to understand that there's no life on our earth and we can't stay alive like this. It's not good enough. This is not good life. Then it's straight into hellfire. What a life. What a waste. Isn't it? So, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us a beautiful cure. Beautiful cure. That he said the example of the heart that is alive and the heart that is dead. What is it? What's in between? What's the condition that will fulfill? Is the dhikr of Allah. That if your heart is dead, here's the message, that if your heart is dead and it's become barren, it's not fertile, and you're saying you don't feel like praying salah, you don't feel like doing good deeds, and there's no manners, no good behavior between lawful and unlawful, you can't differentiate, and your deen is that you just selected yourself, then consider the heart is dead. And how do we make then the heart to become alive? Allah's Nabi said, if you want to make your heart alive, then do the dhikr of Allah, start doing the dhikr of Allah, subhanallah. That's it. Very simple formula, remedy. What a beautiful path and method and solution. Don't sit down cross-legged, arms folded and give up. How can I improve myself? How can my life be improved? How can I start praying salah with desire? No, you cannot just sit there, arms folded and give up. Listen to thousands of speeches. Your heart's dead. You can listen, for example, if you have 1,000 pieces of barren dead land, if you put a bit fertilizer on it, then maybe the plant will grow, the stem, but the leaves will fall away. So you can listen to speeches and wa'idh and lectures, because the cure is not in that. The cure is in that the Prophet has given. So if the land is fertile, alhamdulillah, and you put one seed which is good, the tree will grow, the plants will grow. But if the land is fertile, you're hearing the bayan or lecture or speech, then your heart will have nur ala nur, because the speech will be absorbed, the words will be absorbed, and you will fall into the love of the Prophet ﷺ, that I've heard the message of Allah, the Prophet ﷺ, because the land was fertile. So first and foremost, step number one, we need to make our earth, our land nourished, fertile, to listen to Quran, to pray salah, to hear speech, to do hajj, to do umrah, to have all goodness, to benefit from these things, the pillars of the deen. First and foremost, we need to improve our land, our earth, our soil. So now tell me, how important is the dhikr of Allah? Tell me, without making the earth, the soil nourished, yeah, we can try, I need to take fruits and vegetables and plants from the land. You can sow the seeds and put chemicals and fertilizers, and scientists will come. The plant will grow up to say a few feet, then it will die and wither away. But if the land is made, it's first class, in a good state, it's nourished, even one drop of rain falls on the earth, you haven't even put the seed in there yet, the plant grows to the skies. So if our heart's made with the dhikr of Allah, it's become beautiful, subhanallah, then whatever message of Allah's, whatever Quranic verse you hear, whichever hadith you hear, then the tree will grow very swiftly indeed. Subhanallah. Such plants will come out that tree will grow up to the level of heaven and give you the accounts of your good deeds. So it's very, very important, necessary, essential, the dhikr of Allah. It's not fashion. It's not a choice. It's not something that's up to you, oh, I don't need to do it, you can do it, I don't need to do it. No, every human being, it's necessary for him or her to do dhikr of Allah. Every human being is essential for his heart to be clean and pure. He needs to toil and struggle on his heart, just like people toil and struggle on their heart. So many places in the Quran, Allah has mentioned, وَذْكُرُوا kathiran, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, Allah says. Remember me in abundance. Remember me in high quantity. You'll have said many times that wherever Allah Ta'ala mentions ibadat, worship, Allah Ta'ala has put a limit on the salah 5 times a day, hajj is once in a life, fasting 30 days, zakah, percentage. Everything has a limit, a quantity. This is not for you. But where Allah Ta'ala mentions dhikr, wadhkurullaha kathiran kathira, high number, high quantity, no limit, no boundary. Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiyallahu anha said, I saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that not for a moment in his life, it was a waste of time. His whole life, there wasn't a moment, a second in his life, that he lived without doing the dhikr of Allah. Imagine. Imagine. That's how fertile was the beautiful body and heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Noor ala noor. Obviously, if the Sahaba, they became companions due to his blessed company, then when they sat in his company, they got used to remembering Allah. When a person sits in the company of the friend of Allah, wali Allah, then he gets the habit of remembering Allah. Yes, because the color rubs off to the other cloth, isn't it? So when, for example, Allah Akbar, their hearts are saying, Allah, 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 then the color rubs off, then they start saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. When an individual sits in the company of wali Allah, then the habits rub off. So look at their salah, the Qur'an, after that, the enjoyment. Some people say, I open the Qur'an, and we try, and we want to finish this Qur'an quickly. As a year passes with difficulty, I can only read a few lines. The individual says, I cannot read beyond that. That the beauty of it doesn't become further. As soon as I start reciting the Quran, the tears come out of the eyes, thoughts wander off, and the beautiful messages of the Quran come to my heart. Their hearts are so fertile, they remember Allah so much, their hearts have become so pure and clean. We don't even know, dhikr, is there rust on my heart, or cleanliness, have I prayed salah, I've read Quran, we pray salah. When we leave, we don't know what salah we read, what was recited, what was not recited, because we just got used to praying in that way. So brothers, we don't look after ourselves. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's great message, we haven't understood it. It hasn't penetrated hearts. Nabi sallallahu said, you are dead if you don't do the dhikr of Allah. Your amal are without sincerity. That when a person does deeds, implements deeds without a clean heart, as I do hajj and I pray salah and I read Quran, etc. The person, the people who do everything without dhikr, then they are dead. And how are they dead? Because there's no ikhlas, khulus in their deeds. Their hearts and their lives are full of riyah, showing off takabbur, pride and sins. Can it be that a person does good deeds, Hajj, he comes back, he's seen Allah's house and he comes back, he's done tawaf, he's drank zamzam water, done sa'i, safa, marwa, subhanallah. And he has kissed Hajarul Aswad with his lips, and he's gone to Rawda Mubarak in Madinatul Manawwara and presented himself at the holy grave of the Prophet. Such a great deed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once has made Hajj fard for this reason, that this is such a great ibadah that the human being cannot imagine. Imagine that I can show you so much and take you, I will make you stand there. Allah says that I cannot imagine that after that a person can sin. Allah says it cannot be imagined. So once is enough for you, Allah says, once is enough for you. That's why I stated to do Hajj is once is enough. That such a high grade ibadah is, imagine Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was there, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam was stood there, they're making the house of Allah, they're doing dua, praying, and me and you are stood there and we're embracing that place. Imagine that place. What a great fadl of Allah, that Allah calls us to His home, Hajrul Aswad, subhanAllah, whose lips touch Hajrul Aswad, everyone's lips, Allahu Akbar, such lips have been placed, that Imamul Anbiya, the Holy Prophet, the head of the Prophets, his lips have been placed on Hajrul Aswad, Allahu Akbar. And there your lips, they are placed on that same place. And then after that, can a person imagine, after kissing Hajrul Aswad, the person's backbiting, lying, deceiving, whistling after someone, singing, those eyes that see the Rawda Mubarak, the holy fence, and the Prophet is listening to your salam and replying. The Sahaba Ikram are present, the noble companions, those places you go and see where the prostration took place, and you do sujood there, you prostrate. Allahu Akbar, think. Such a muqaddas, those eyes become so blessed. The Allah Ta'ala says, you're seeing the Rawda Mubarak is enough for me. There's no need for you to go again. Jannah is wajib on you. Jannah is wajib on you after you've seen my home, Baytullah, and you go to Rawda Mubarak Madina, and after thousands of times we look at the same places and we continue to sin. Why? The reason is what? How can it happen? Repeatedly we do ibadah and we lie, we backbite from my eyes, I'm doing my eyes, I'm doing zina, I'm swearing from my mouth, from my lips, my tongue, such lewd sins, and we can imagine because our heart is dead and we are doing the actions with a dead heart. The heart was dead. And Allah Ta'ala said that you were born with a heart that was alive. But we have trodden onto our hearts. If you ask the wali of Allah, the friend of Allah, ask that pure person who has toiled and struggled and made his heart nur ala nur, enlightened, then he goes and does Hajj. Then I say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Ask that person if you do Hajj. He says, don't even ask me what I've done. What was I before? What I've just done. Subhanallah. Ask me what have I seen. Forget about have I been to Hajj. Ask me what have I seen, what have I heard. There are ears like this, that when they go to the Rawda Mubarak, the holy grave of the Prophet, they say, Salatu wa salamu alayki ya Rasulullah, subhanallah. That holy, pure heart, those hearts that are made with the dhikr of Allah, then their ears hear the reply, Subhanallah. Wadhkuru la kathira la'allakum tuflihoon. Do the dhikr of Allah, Allah says, do my dhikr. Remember me in a high quantity, not dhikr, take tasbih, 12 tasbih, 12 rosary beads, 10 beads of this. Allah says, you don't count the ibad of dhikr of Allah. You have to purify your heart with this deed. The heart is the place for Rahman Allah. One normal person, if he comes, then to clean his heart, you have to try your hardest, isn't it? Today my guest come from Pakistan, my guest coming from Hindustan, India, from Bangladesh, from another place. My uncle's coming from my mother's side, my father's side, my father-in-law. Change the carpet, the seat, change the bed. We clean the house, don't we? So in the heart where Rahman is coming, Allah, imagine that. Have we prepared the heart for that? That we have to start brooming our hearts with the dhikr of Allah. Yes, we need to dust down our hearts with the dhikr of Allah. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. If you want falah, success, Allah says. Then if you want falah, success in this world and hereafter, if you want your deeds to be accepted, then make, if you want your deeds to be capable that when they go to Allah in the hereafter, you haven't even presented yourself to Allah and your salah should be accepted. And your heart should be accepted. Your heart should be presented to Allah as qalbin salim, the pure sincere heart. So this is the gathering of the dhikr of Allah, my friends. I've given a little introduction. That's why I'm present here today in your service. So you're sad, I'm sad. Let's remember Allah. Let's remember Allah. That's what we're here for, aren't we? So that's it. End of story. No, that's not my principle. That's not my style. That we just do dhikr and finish. I have come to tell you that do dhikr all your lives. All life long. And I put the tasbih down on the ground. Not tasbih, dhikr, kathir dhikr. Not the rosary bead. Not the beads of 1, 2, 3. That's what I've come to explain. Do you want to ask? Your life should change during this gathering. That today's majlis is here. We're sat here, some people. They've heard the message. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us the message that after today, you should start to do kathir dhikr. You should be amongst those who do kathir dhikr. Dhikr in high quantity. Will you do that, brothers? Put your hands up if you will. Put your hands up. I want to see who's put his hands up. Put your hands down. Now, we have promised that our Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have heard your hadith, and we will fulfill the rights of this, what you have said. We understand and agree that our hearts are dead. We're grateful to you, our Mawla Allah. We accept that we today will become dhakir. We will start to remember you. We'll do all actions, but in parallel, foundation-wise, will be dhakir. Nothing should stop in our lives. Whatever you're doing, the work of the deen, religion, faith, then your work of the deen, faith, will be elevated due to dhikr. If you're teaching hadith, you taught hadith before, but after you learn dhikr of Allah, and you teach hadith, your teaching will be nur ala nur. Light beyond light. Then the students say, Ustaji, you taught us this, oh teacher, you taught us this hadith before. You didn't tell us this point before. Where did this come from? He said, before I taught you without doing dhikr of Allah, now I do dhikr of Allah and I'm teaching you. Big difference. Big difference. Massive. The propagation of the deen, tabligh, will be a difference. Before you gave dawah to people, you invited. But after doing dhikr, when you invite people to dhikr, their hearts will be pulled. You will have to make less effort with the fadl of Allah, dhikr of Allah, with the blessing of Allah. Because we invite people to salah, he'll say, okay, fine, I'm going to start praying salah. When you're sincere. So today we need to do this action, that we need to learn dhikr today. And I've come to teach you. For this reason I've come. So why is it taught? You say, what's there to learn? You're right. Yes? I've learned, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Is this what you've come to teach us? What's this? So my brothers, I'll give you an example. That there are two types of medicine. One is the medicine you can buy over the counter, the pharmacy. Yes, off the shelf. The chemist, the pharmacist will give you. And the other medicine, you have to go to the doctor, he writes a prescription, he prescribes the medicines. Must be a difference in the medicines, isn't it? Yes, if you two, three doctors sat in front of me, they'll tell you the difference. What's the difference? Is there a difference or not? Tell me. If by mistake, and you go to the pharmacy, oh, why have you come here? Go to the doctor, get the prescription. You need specific medicine. You can't buy from here, over the counter, off the shelf. So that's the same way. One is common dhikr, one is special dhikr, unique. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Common, normal dhikr, there are many places you can go and learn. Or hear or read. There are books. Ulama ikram, respected scholars, you read in Fadail Amal. This is common dhikr. But special, unique dhikr, to learn this, to know how to do this. The doctors are present, you must go to the physicians. And what are the physicians? Who are they? What dhikr is that? That's dhikr and kathir. High quantity. The common dhikr we do it with what? We take the tasbih, subhanallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, 100, 500, 1500, 1000. This is how many will do in it? 5000, okay. But then you'll have to stop. Allah says, do dhikran kathiran kathira. Unlimited. Alladhina yadhkuruna la qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim. Allah says, remember me standing, sitting, lying down. Even if you're sleeping, your heart should do dhikr. Allah, how can I do that? Allah says, if you're eating, do my dhikr. Remember me. If you're sleeping, even when I'm sleeping, Allah, how? Yes, that's the enjoyment. That's kathir dhikr. Not a second of your life, and this is the sunnah of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not a second of yours, not a second of your life should pass. Not a second should pass, which is away from the dhikr of Allah. If a second passes, then you will be written, your name will be included amongst the people who are ghafil, negligent. We don't even have permission. Therefore, a second, we leave dhikr of Allah. If I tell you the hadith about this, the discussion will lengthen. If one of our deeds or seconds in life or thoughts passes without the dhikr of Allah, we'll say, I do this many tasbih. No, just the condition of one moment, if 1 second of your life moment passes without remembrance of Allah, will be included amongst the ghafil people, and you will understand the hisab, the accounting of that, the reckoning. When you're stood in front of Allah, you'll be crying, shrieking, screaming, and you'll be saying, regretting, Allah, how did this occur that I didn't do your dhikr for a second? Allah will say, show him the maqam, that when you waste a moment, a second, what you have wasted. The opportunity. So today, I will teach you such a way of doing dhikr that no second of your life will be wasted. Subhanallah. Will you do it? Inshallah. True promise? Put your hands up again to promise. Robust. Okay, good, good. You're learning. Good. So, this is called dhikr and kathir. This, you can't get it on the over the counter. Who's giving this to you? I'm not a doctor. I am not even the compounder who puts the medicine together. The doctor's given me an instruction that represent me. I'm not capable, I have no status, I'm totally at the bottom. I'm not even the compounder. I don't even know how to give the injection. I've just been given the hukam that give the instruction, teach, and the effect will take place. I can't arrive there, said the doctor, so I'm sending you as my representative. So don't think you're a sheikh, shuk, or a teacher, no. I'm a representative of my brothers or a great doctor. He wasn't the doctor, he was the consultant who's representative. Subhanallah. No, one, two, hundreds of thousands of people's hearts he made alive. Subhanallah. Ali Murtaza Rahmatul Alay, my sheikh, my teacher. And whose student was he? Hazrat Thanwi Sahib Rahmatul Alay. Great hadith he learned from him. Hazrat Sheikhul Hadith Sahib, my sheikh was his class fellow. And his father Hazrat Yahya Sahib, both of them, Mr. Sheikh Radis and my Sheikh, both studied and learned at the same time. My Sheikh Hazrat Sahib, Hazrat Ali Murtaza Ramta, he was a class fellow over Hazrat Sheikh Radis Abulana Zikr Sahib, and both learnt and studied hadith at the same time in Darul Mun. Subhanallah. And I am the compounder. I'm not even the person who picks up the shoes. I'm just the person right at the back. And he sent me, go to England and go to Bradford, definitely to Masjid Nurul Islam. Subhanallah. And the people are good. And the imam is great as well, mashallah. Go there, and straight away they'll accept your invitation. Give you the invitation. All will learn dhikr. I said, okay, let me go and see. Is it my sheikh? Is he giving me the hint, the guidance? What do you need to learn? Dhikrun kathir today. That's it. Okay? So there's dhikrun kathir. How do we do it? From the nose, eyes, no. Allah's prepared the organ of the body. Allah said, there's such a thing, a piece of flesh in your body that never stops. An organ, a machine, not a second, not in a minute, 70 times it pumps out blood. Tuck, tuck, tuck. In 1 minute it pumps out blood 70 odd times. So in every beat of the heart, when the blood is pumped out, then alongside with that, Allah, 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 Allah should be pumped out. Allahu Akbar. Every milliliter of blood should be reciting Allah's name. If I tell you, then how will you swear after that? Yes, how will you consume haram? Will you not have enjoyment in salah? Will you not have enjoyment of hajj? How can it be you won't have that? Can it be that just fulfill this gap and you'll get the achievement? This was the hadith. So you'll be the person who's dead before will become alive. How? Learn how to do dhikr of the heart. Dhikr of qalbi. Will you learn, brothers? Inshallah. Now, I'll give you dhikr of the heart. I'll tell you the tariqah, the method. It'll take a second for your heart to become alive. Subhanallah. That's the achievement, the greatness of the friends of Allah. Your heart will become alive. I'll tell you the method. And you just have to start doing dhikr. Morning and evening, I'll tell you the tariqah, the method, and you'll be successful. Yes, it? That's why I've come here today and I've presented myself in front of you with the fadl, blessings, mercies of Allah. I'll teach you dhikr. I'll depart after that. And you need to individually, in your lives, perform dhikr regularly in your lives. Alhamdulillah, your life will become pure, clean. You'll have no problems, difficulties, issues. Dhikr of Allah is such a great deed. Such a great deed. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu was asked by a companion, that what's the greatest verse? Allahu Akbar. What's the greatest amal that's seen in the greatest verse? He said, have you not read the Quran? He said, I've read the Quran. He said, then why should I tell you? Don't you read the Quran? Don't you know? He said, وَلَا ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Allah. Subhanallah. عَلَىٰ أُولَىٰ أَفْضَلُ. We say this, isn't it? Every khutbah. That the seven qualities we mention in the khutbah of Jummah. Yes, and we get up and go. The enjoyment is after hearing the khutbah. I don't get up. I don't go. Never do I get up after the Jummah khutbah until I have not done full dhikr of Allah with the Jamaat. The Jamaat sat it. Ask them, where are you going? I say, the Jummah's finished. I said, Jummah hasn't finished. Hasn't completed yet. The announcement was made. Ala ul afdal superior. Dhikr. And we're leaving there. And leaving. Sit down 5 minutes. Do maraqbah. Remember Allah. Subhanallah. What does Allah say in the Quran? That when the Salatul Jummah ends, completes, then what should we do? Allah says, remember me. After remembering me, then leave. When you land, it will become fadl of Allah. What is that verse? Recite that verse for me, brothers. It's not coming to my mind. Yes, that when you complete dhikr and kathira, do dhikr and kathir, the dhikr of the heart, when you depart after doing dhikr and kathir after Jummah, when you go back to your dunya, world, businesses, transactions and trade, it won't be normal. Fadl of Allah, grace will come into your business. Will you do dhikr after Jummah? Yes, inshallah. So when I tell you maraqbah, soon as Jummah ends, you've prayed salah, just 3 minutes, 2 minutes, close your eyes and do maraqbah. Allah, 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 Allah. 5 minutes dhikr you do, do dua and leave and go towards the dunya. What will that become? That will become alive heart. Who tells us this? The Quran. Yes. So this is the principles we're learning. And then you don't need to have a tasbih, rosary bead in your hand. Just bow your head and your heart will start to do its work. Okay? So my brothers, we continue now the program, the schedule. Maybe Isha time is close. Is 10:15? Okay, so 10:15. So let's do a little bit of dhikr. Remember Allah for a while. And after dhikr, inshallah, brothers, stay seated. I will teach dhikr to everyone, how to remember Allah. And then the majlis will end. Okay, brothers? Inshallah. So let's do dhikr of Allah.
اللهم صل على محمد النبي من يزواج امهات المؤمنين وذرياته وعلى بيتهم وصليت ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما ابدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا حظنا وجدنا خطنا عمدنا كل صالح لنا اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت ما اخرت وما اسرت وما علمت وما اسرفت وانت اعلم به انت المقدم وانت المؤخر لا اله الا انت اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم ثبتنا الإيمان وثبتنا الإيمان وحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استقبلنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا بسمرته اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقضي حاجاتنا يا دافي البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا دافي البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا دافي البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا شافي الامراض اشف امراضنا يا شافي الامراض اشف امراضنا يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا يا الله ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الله يحيى من برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله